W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Big news! Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end-of-season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to How to Fix It. I'm John Avalon, and the purpose of this podcast is to talk about finding solutions to the problems we face, not simply fixating on the problems themselves. And some of the biggest challenges we've got are the rigged system of redistricting, which is now being jammed through mid-decade in a naked, blatant power grab by Republicans, particularly in the state of Texas, and also Democrats reclaiming faith, something that has been a real obstacle. And there are few better guests we could have than James Tallarico. He is a Texas state legislator. He has been making a lot of news from his appearance on Joe Rogan. But for those of you who've been following him on Instagram, as I have, and TikTok, he is someone who's been a principled voice for a new generation of Democrats. And James, it's an honor to have you on How to Fix It.
Thanks, John. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so it's great to be here.
You're kind. Well, let's start with, let's just go deep into the news right now. Democrats have left the state capitol in an attempt to stop Republicans from jamming through yet another blatant biased redistricting. Give us the state of play as of today.
Yeah, so typically state legislators adjust district boundaries at the beginning of a decade to account for population changes after a new census. And Texas Republicans did that in 2021. It was a gerrymandered map. I voted against it. I spoke against it, but we didn't break quorum. This is different. Trump is now asking those Republicans in Texas to redraw the Texas map to get him five more seats. Kind of sounds like when he asked the Georgia Secretary of State to get him 11,000 votes. And unlike Georgia, the leaders of Texas have said yes. And so they are pushing through this rigged map so that they can manufacture the outcome they want in the 2026 midterms. This is not just about Texas. This has consequences for the entire country, because if Donald Trump is able to hold on to power, if he's able to go without any accountability, without any checks on his authority, we're going to be in for a rough ride over the next few years. And who knows if he'll even leave office in 2028. This is a president who has shown a complete disdain for the peaceful transfer of power. So the stakes could not be higher. And I'm proud of my 56 other Texas Democratic colleagues for standing strong and stopping this corrupt redistricting power grab.
And as a practical matter, does this mean that Texas Democrats will try to, how long do y'all need to stay out of Austin in order to get this done? And I want to emphasize how egregious these maps are. This is it flies in the face of common sense, common decency, democratic norms, the whole deal.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. And I'll just give you a quick example. I represent Central Texas, the Austin area, which is in the middle of the state. Texas is obviously a very big state. And this map would draw some of our Central Texans into a district that goes all the way to the Texas coast, 4 hours away. So it's just, it's insane on its face, and it's deeply corrupt. We oftentimes think of corruption as just involving money, but corruption is the abuse of power, the betrayal of the public trust, and this absolutely meets that definition. And so to answer your question about timeline, we have all committed to kill this map in this special legislative session, which lasts for two more weeks. So we are all committed to staying out of the state capitol for the next 2 weeks and stopping this power grab. Now, what happens after that is anybody's guess. Greg Abbott could call another special legislative session, or blue state governors in states with Democratic trifectas could move forward with their own gerrymandering retaliation. And perhaps that would get Donald Trump and Greg Abbott to walk back from the brink. Because I just want to say, gerrymandering is wrong when Democrats do it and when Republicans do it. It is wrong in red states and in blue states. It is a fundamental disruption to the democratic process. Voters should be choosing their politicians. Politicians shouldn't be choosing their voters. But as we just talked about, this power grab in Texas right now is happening in the middle of the decade, and it is particularly egregious, particularly brazen, particularly discriminatory. And that's why we took this bold step of breaking quorum.
And we should say that the last round of redistricting, because I covered this intensely, I mean, was itself incredibly rigged. You had Texas population growth, particularly in cities, particularly among communities of color, but they reduced the number of Democratic seats in communities of color, and that was being charged under the Voting Rights Act. Now, is the idea that we're just in a place where laws no longer apply because the Trump DOJ isn't going to enforce, or is that case still winding its way through? Because there were a lot of questions about the legality of the last Texas gerrymander, let alone this one.
That's exactly right. The last map was terrible. This one's even worse. And yes, there are still court challenges. They take forever to resolve their way through the court. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a former teacher, so I don't pretend to know all the ins and outs of that. My faith is ultimately in the people of Texas, in the American people. They are the ones who have got to end this by voting at the ballot box against Republican extremism and for a vision of democracy where we have free and fair elections for everybody. You know, I'm not here just fighting for Democrats. I'm fighting for independents and Republicans too. I want them to be able to choose the leaders that they want representing them in the halls of power. That's how a representative democracy is supposed to work. And this rigging of the next election, this corrupt map, is a direct threat to the people's ability to elect the representatives of their choice. And it's fundamentally un-American, and it's why we took this step, which, as you know, John, is risking some political, personal, financial costs for the members who have done this. But I don't regret making this decision, because this is what's necessary to meet the moment.
I mean, it is a blatant, I mean, it's to your point, this is not a tough call with any fair-minded ideals. Now, some folks say, well, in the process of trying to rig the map, you could move other seats to more competitive status. That feels like a rationalization to me. Tell me why those arguments are wrong, or if they got a shred of truth to them.
Right. There's a term for it. Gerrymandering is when politicians draw their own lines and draw our districts into these crazy shapes to manufacture the outcome they want. And when they get too greedy and they end up hurting themselves because they've drawn the districts too thin, it's called dummy mandering, which is, you know, a pretty clever term. And that may be the result here. Who knows? But it's not really the point. The point is that trying to grab power like this in the middle of the decade should be unacceptable. It should be unacceptable to all of us, regardless of our political party. And it sets a terrible precedent if a politician like Donald Trump is just able to hold on to power by getting his henchmen in a place like Texas to redraw the maps in the middle of the decade. So the act itself is deeply immoral and sets a dangerous precedent. It's why we've taken this step of breaking quorum. I'm not sure what the end result will be. I'm not sure what the partisan impact will be. That's not really my concern. My concern is not for the Democratic Party. It's for the democratic process.
And have there been any Republicans who are saying this is wrong, or everyone's just going along to get along and it's, you know, the ends justify the means?
Well, per usual in the Trump era, there are many saying it privately and there aren't any saying it publicly. And we've gotten used to that. The problem here is not our Republican colleagues being unaware that this is a dangerous precedent. The problem is they lack the courage to speak that truth in public, and they lack the courage to stand up to Donald Trump. I mean, growing up in Texas, I remember a time when a Texas governor would never allow the president of the United States to mess with Texas. Those days are gone. We now have a governor who is bending the knee to Donald Trump, and he is sacrificing the voices of Texans in the democratic process to do so. And that's why my colleagues and I felt compelled to take this step of breaking quorum, of leaving the state and killing this map in this special session.
And you believe that, you know, you're out for 2 weeks, Abbott would have to extend the special session. And to your point, you know, this is where Democrats got to fight back and make them feel like they may lose more than they gain in other states.
And I'm here in Illinois, in the land of Lincoln, which is appropriate because Abraham Lincoln broke quorum as a state senator in 1840 by jumping out of the window at the Illinois state capitol. And thankfully, I didn't have to jump out of windows yesterday. But we are participating in a long American tradition of standing up to bullies. of speaking truth to power, of civil disobedience and good trouble. And so regardless of the consequences, which Greg Abbott and Kim Paxton have already promised to arrest us, to maybe even expel us from the legislature, we know we're doing the right thing and we can look ourselves in the mirror. We can lay our head down at night knowing that we have right on our side.
The great tradition of standing up to bullies. And as Lincoln famously said, we believe that right makes might. And I think you can't overstate the extent to which there are people in our country and in the world who are trying to make it so that the logic goes back to the opposite.
Exactly.
Might makes right. And that's a real danger. While we're quoting Lincoln and who is fond of quoting scripture, House Divided being a scriptural reference, you are famously a person of faith. I'm an imperfect person of faith. You are studying to be a priest, a preacher. This has been a fundamental fault line. I deeply believe that Democrats need to reclaim the flag. We need to reclaim faith. We need to reclaim freedom. Faith piece is tricky, not only because we've seen this partisan division along faith-based lines, but because there are a lot of Democrats. I mean, the one religious area besides, Black evangelicals, Black Protestants, that we Democrats have a majority is atheists, agnostics, unaffiliated. What's your case? Make your case for how and why, but especially how Democrats can reclaim faith. Because it seems to me this is a great opportunity for us all to think a little deeper about the message of the scriptures.
Yeah, that's right. And I thank you for saying that faith is different, because my faith is my foundation. My politics grows out of my faith. It's important to get that order right, because a lot of my fellow believers, a lot of churches in this country today are putting their politics ahead of their faith. Yeah. They are baptizing their partisanship and calling that Christianity. And so it's really important that we understand the relationship between these two spheres in our lives, between the inner life and the outer life. You know, my granddad was a Baptist preacher in South Texas. And when I was little, he told me that we follow a barefoot rabbi who gave us two commandments, love God and love neighbor. So Christianity is both spiritual and political, because politics is really just another word for how we treat our neighbors at its most fundamental level. And so I was told that there is no love of God without love of neighbor. Every single person bears the image of the sacred. Every single person is holy. And that's why I'm in public service, to serve my constituents, to serve the people of Texas, to make my neighbor's life a little easier by reducing prescription drugs, by expanding access to childcare, funding public schools. And this American democracy is, it's not just a constitution, it is a covenant. That's how we would describe it in the church. It's a relationship between neighbors. And politicians like Greg Abbott and Donald Trump, they are breaking that covenant, right? Democracy is a promise we make to each other to share this country. Even when we're different, even when we have such deep disagreements, we make a promise to share this country together. And by suppressing people's votes, by gerrymandering these maps in the middle of the decade, they are breaking that sacred promise. And when that happened 2,000 years ago, that barefoot rabbi didn't just stay in his room and pray. He walked into the seat of power and flipped over the tables of injustice. And so my message here is that for those who love democracy, for those who love our neighbors, it's time to start flipping tables.
Yeah. And also, you know, like let's stop pretending that the Bible can be reduced to a few obscure references in Leviticus, but actually think about the whole message of the New Testament, which is reaching out, lifting up, a duty to care. And that's something that I think we need to stop being shy about. And it's not a contradiction, as you often point out, with the separation of church and state. This is something that Democrats need to gain their confidence back, rooted in real scripture. On the flip side, we're seeing the DOJ saying that all of a sudden people can endorse political candidates from the pulpit. As a person of faith studying to be a priest, as well as a member of the state legislature, what do you think of that?
I think it's so dangerous, not just for our democracy, but for the church. I mean, the separation of church and state in our First Amendment doesn't just protect democracy. It also protects faith. Because when our church becomes too cozy with political power, with governmental authority, whether it's a president or an emperor or a pharaoh, we get in trouble. That's when we lose our prophetic voice, our ability to speak truth to power. And so this separation, this sacred boundary is so important for people of faith to cherish. And as you know, John, the staunchest defenders of the separation of church and state throughout American history were oftentimes Christians, oftentimes Protestants. The first time that Jefferson uses that phrase, a wall of separation between church and state, it was in a letter to the Danbury Baptists, because Baptists in particular understood the risks when a government is picking and choosing between religious faiths. This is not a Christian nation. It is a nation where you are free to be a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Jew or a Muslim or an atheist. And this country was started by those religious minorities fleeing religious persecution. It's fundamental to who we are. And it's so important for people of faith to speak out in favor of the First Amendment and this sacred separation between church and state.
And that's such an important and accurate way of framing it. I also always recommend people go back and read President Washington's letter to the Hebrew congregation in Newport, Rhode Island, where he makes it clear that we are open to all. And it's that defense of religious minorities against persecution that is the essence, the heart of our religious freedom.
And I'll just add, that's also a very Christian way to approach our neighbors. One of my favorite parables from Jesus in the New Testament is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we often nowadays think of that as just a term for someone who helps someone on the side of the road. But it's important to remember that the Samaritans were the not just a different religious group, they were the sworn enemies of the Jews in Jesus's day. And so by making the Samaritan the hero of the story, by making salvation come from the heretic, Jesus is saying that our neighbor love has to transcend religious boundaries. And so that story in particular has so much to tell us in this modern day when we have so much religious diversity around us.
In the time we have left, I mean, your appearance on Joe Rogan, he's endorsing you running for president. There's talk about you running for the Senate. I'm not going to put you on the spot specifically on that, but I want you to talk about the need for generational change within the Democratic Party and how some of the debates about left versus right. I mean, you represent a part of Texas that is largely rural. And I do believe there's a need for rural Democrats and red state Democrats building a bigger tent. But how do you understand that need for generational change within the debate about whether Democrats should move further left or embrace a bigger tent?
Yeah, I don't think the argument is over moderate versus progressive. I think it's fighters versus folders. It is whether or not you meet this historic moment, whether you recognize the threats that we face, whether you recognize how this system is deeply corrupt in both parties and how it's rigged for the wealthy and the well-connected, that is the test. I have less interest in whether you are moderate or progressive and more about, do you recognize the moment we're in and are you ready to take steps to transform this broken political system? And so that's the conversation we need to be having. And I do feel like it's young elected officials and young candidates who are leading the way. I was elected as the youngest member of the Texas legislature back in 2018. I'm now an elderly millennial. But thankfully, we've got Gen Z folks who are stepping up to run and invigorate our party even more. Of course, our senior members have invaluable experience and wisdom, and we shouldn't disregard that as a binary. We need both. The problem is the Democratic Party hasn't always made room for younger voices, and we're better when we do. And so I hope that changes in the years to come.
No question. And actually, the rigged system redistricting is one of the things that keeps that in there. There is a difference, though. You're talking about moral courage versus moral superiority. One of the things that's troubling Democrats, or should, is the fact that Donald Trump's unprecedented power grab and extremism and corruption, his numbers are going down, but Democrats' numbers aren't going up. Why do you think that is? Is there a sense that some Democrats feel morally superior and that creates a barrier to our ability to reach out and connect?
Well, I think that polling reflects a lot of Democrats who are dissatisfied with the state of the party. I may even be in that category, and I'm proud to be a Democrat, but I'm not happy with how national Democrats operate, especially over the last few years. And I hope that Texas Democrats in this quorum break are reminding Democrats how to have a backbone, how to have a spine, how to have a fighting spirit. That's what people want from their elected leaders. Even if they don't agree with you on every issue, they want to know you're going to fight for them, that you're not satisfied with this broken, corrupt, rigged system of ours, and that you will do extraordinary things to fix it and transform it and make it work for regular people. That's what we're doing here. I hope it is inspiring my fellow Democrats at the national level and in blue states who need to get in the game. Texas Democrats know the stakes. We are living with Republican extremism every day in our state. And so we know how to fight. We know how to use every tool in our toolbox to deliver for people. And I think national Democrats could take a page out of our playbook.
All right. That is Texas State Legislator James Tallarico coming to us from Illinois, land of Lincoln, where he and his fellow Texas Democrats are working to try to make sure that there can't be this naked partisan power grab to try to stop Democrats from having a free and fair election and taking back the House to provide some checks and balances against the extremism that Donald Trump is wreaking on the country. He is a voice that a lot of folks are looking to. And I hope you took out not only a front lines update on the fight against the rigged system of redistricting, which is being weaponized in an unprecedented way, but also a path forward for Democrats reclaiming faith and a generational change that is not based just on left versus right, but as he says, fighters versus folders. I'm John Avlon. Thanks for joining us on How to Fix It.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.